Hare Krishna. Question from Subuddhi Madhav Prabhu. What is the relevance of the other five schools of thought apart from Vedanta for a devotee practitioner? Can we conclude that they are speculations by their respective founders? Answer: not exactly speculations. They are partial understandings of the teachings which were given by Vyasadeva, and then subsequently those understandings were distorted further. So the six systems of philosophy, they are progressive systems of understanding which gradually move towards the conclusive understanding in Vedanta. Just like in a university, there may be different levels of classes. There are different levels. So there's first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And like that, there's junior, of course, there's primary, secondary, then there is college, then there is post-graduation, post-graduation. So there are levels. So in one sense, these six systems of philosophy, they were levels of understanding of the world. So they were, in one sense, originally progressive. One of ISKCON's scholarly leaders, Suhotras Maharaj, he has written a book about the six systems of philosophy where he analyzes them with a fair amount of depth. And so, for example, here I'll just give a rough sketch of their progressiveness, because the philosophy systems themselves are a little complex to understand. So we say we look at the world around us and we see practically so much variety. We could say almost a countless variety. So from this, we try to figure out, okay, what are the fundamental elements that make this up? So Sankhya tries to analyze the complexity of reality into its fundamental elements, Sankhya, counting. And then after counting the material element, then one tries to go to the spiritual elements also. Vaisheshika also does something similar, where it tries to analyze in terms of the focus on understanding not just the ingredients, but the fundamental building blocks. So it's something like Vaisheshika is something like physics, where it goes to the level of atoms and molecules. They also use the word Anu and Parmanu, although they use it in a different sense. But so that is again an analysis of the material world. And then there we have we have Vaisheshika, then which is basic. Then we have Mimamsa, which basically, okay, we understand, okay, there is a higher level of reality. And roughly parallel, just as science has discovered some laws of nature, there in Mimamsa one understands that there are certain laws, and by following those laws, understanding and harmonizing with those laws, one can rise to better levels of existence. So one goes from earthly reality to heavenly reality, and that's more or less the worldview of Mimamsa. Then there is Nyaya, which basically is a system of logic, and that system of logic is used to largely move onwards from the level of logical incoherence, or accepting and believing illogical things. We move onwards towards understanding logical things, understanding things logically. So it's a system of logic. And that logic itself, if it is taken to its conclusion, that itself is seen as the final way of knowledge, then it can lead to skepticism and incorrect understanding. But as a tool for acquiring knowledge, Nyaya, the principles developed by Nyaya and as well as by Mimamsa, they have been used by other schools of thought also. And then there is, we have Yoga, which understands, whereas Mimamsa focuses on a higher reality, but yoga focuses on not just a higher material reality, but a higher spiritual reality. And yoga focuses more on detachment from the lower material reality, so that one can eventually meditate on and become connected with the higher spiritual reality. Now Vedanta, with its focus on Brahman, it stresses not so much the rejection of the material reality, although that is also a part. Its stress is on connection, its consistent stress is on connection with the higher spiritual reality. And it reveals what the higher spiritual reality is fully. So now when Vyasadeva taught the Vedas, and then the six systems of knowledge emerged, and he interested different sages. So it was meant to be a cooperative, progressive growth in learning. So we have in the Bhagavatam, it described that because after doing all this, Vyasadeva wrote the books and he arranged for the system for disseminating knowledge through the Vedas. He gave different sections of the Vedas to different sages. And yet he felt dissatisfied because, as Narad Muni told Vyasadeva later, that you have not glorified the Supreme Lord adequately. So the conclusion of Uttama Shloka Gunanu Varananam, that was not adequately stressed. And when that focus was missed by people, then they their partial understandings led to the thinking that these six systems of thought were not progressive, but they were independent and competitive. And if over time they have developed as independent schools of thought which compete against each other. So at our present level of bhakti practice, we have not, most of us have not grown up in a culture where we studied these six systems of thought. So we don't need to study the six systems now, because that study is not relevant for us. We can focus primarily on studying the principles of bhakti and applying those principles. And for our outreach, we need to deal with the misconceptions that people have, and we need to find ways in which those misconceptions can be addressed. And as we keep doing that, we keep moving onwards towards Krishna. So the six systems of philosophy are not directly relevant for us as sadhaka. Srila Prabhupada does say in the Bhagavatam purport that anyone who is going to speak on the Bhagavatam should be well versed in six systems of philosophy. And he draws this purport from a point in the Bhagavatam that how the Avasutta Goswami was very learned and thus he was capable of speaking on the Bhagavatam. So the underlying principle is, Srila Prabhupada never encouraged people to devotees that you should study the six systems of philosophy to become bhaktas. So the point is that one who is speaking on the Bhagavatam should be capable of refuting misconceptions that the audience may be likely to have. So in the context when Sutta Goswami was speaking, at that time there were the people, the six systems of philosophy were prevalent, and Sutta Goswami was equipped to remove those misconceptions. Today, people have a different set of misconceptions. And whatever the misconceptions they have, we as devotees should be trained, if we are especially focusing on outreach, we should study and train ourselves so that we can adequately respond to and counter those misconceptions and present the conclusion of bhakti in an appealing and persuasive way. Thank you. Hare Krishna.